Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As many of you know, the book of Acts is about the formation of the early church and how it went from being a Jewish movement centered in Jerusalem to a wide network of worshiping communities. And one of the ways that we see this taking place is foreshadowed by what Jesus said to his disciples shortly before he ascended into heaven. He said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And this is often called the mission statement of Acts. And the book really enacts that centrifugal pattern. They start in Jerusalem, healing and preaching and converting people. And then as persecutions begin, they move out. They move out into the surrounding areas like Judea and Samaria. And eventually go into Asia Minor and Europe, to the ends of the earth as they knew them then. And so our passage today takes place shortly after this movement out of Jerusalem starts. And we're told that all of the apostles except the apostles were scattered throughout the countryside of Judea and Samaria. And the apostles stayed there, centered in Jerusalem, but the others spread. Well, so what were the apostles doing in Jerusalem? Did they just hang out and stay there and just be by themselves? Apparently not. And in this passage, we see that Peter is going out, that he's got a ministry among these burgeoning churches. And we're told that he went here and there among all the believers, and he came down also to the saints living in Lydda. And you know that saints are Christians, not any special Christians, just Christians. So you may have wondered, why is there a map on the front of the bulletin? Well, I like maps. I think you know that by now. But Acts requires a little bit of attention to geography. And so why just try to keep it in your head? I think that the writing is a little bit small, but I think you can read it. That we have Jerusalem down here near the north part of the Dead Sea. And then if you go kind of northwest from there, you will come to Lydda and Joppa. And those are the places mentioned in our passage today. And these places are close enough so that Peter, who is based in Jerusalem, could go out and visit those scattered believers. This could be maybe not a day trip, but not too long of a trip. So one of the things that Peter does is he goes to cure a man in Lydda. And then while he's still there, word comes to him, come quickly to Joppa, because an important disciple has died. This woman named Tabitha, and that's her name in Aramaic, the language of Jesus, but she's also called Dorcas in Greek, and that suggests that maybe she's been a bridge builder between these two cultures. In any case, Tabitha's death causes great distress among her community. And this isn't surprising because, of course, most deaths cause great distress. And there's a very poignant scene when Peter arrives and the disciples have washed Tabitha's body and they are weeping over her loss. But in addition, you have this group of widows who are showing off the clothing that Tabitha has made. And that detail just really touches me because it's so true to my experience. After death, most of us do look with special attention to the objects that have been made by our loved ones or that are important to them. Maybe his Eagle Scout Award or the sweaters she knitted. Or Andy and I were talking about hammers, the hammers that your grandfather used. I have here a bowl that was made by Harold Hale. And this is in my office, and he liked to turn wood. And this is a bowl that he made for ashes for for Ash Wednesday. So I always think about him when I see that. I also have here a personal item that is important to me. This is the last book that my father wrote. He was a historian and published a number of books on medical history. And this was kind of his final work. But he was unable to get this book published while he was alive, and my stepmother had it printed privately. So I'd heard him talk about this book for at least 10 years. And so seeing this book in print is particularly poignant for me. And in a similar way, the tunics and the clothing made by Tabitha are important to the people that she has left behind. They're important because she made them. Her hands went into stitching every seam. But not only did she do that, but you see, Tabitha was working with widows. And widows were often the ones who were the most powerless in that society. They often did not have any economic resources of their own. And throughout the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament alike, there is an expectation, and perhaps even a requirement, that the faith community take care of widows. And that is seen as a mark of righteousness before God. And this concern is evident in the life of the Jerusalem church from the very beginning. We're told that the Hellenists, the Jewish Christians who spoke mostly Greek, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews, those Christians who spoke mostly Aramaic. They complained against them because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And that's a serious complaint. They weren't getting enough to eat. And that was when the apostles created the order of deacons to care for the widows and others. So I wonder if Tabitha was perhaps a deacon. She's there in Joppa, and she clearly has had an important responsibility for widows in that area, not necessarily those, just those in the church. And perhaps we could view her work as a kind of a welfare program for the poor widows of the area. No wonder that there is such grief for those who are left behind when she dies. Tabitha has made a difference. She has provided clothing for widows that they would not otherwise be able to afford. Who's going to care for the widows now that she is gone? Will the power of death be too great in this situation? And it's not just the widows who are concerned, but all the disciples, the saints. They send two men to Peter and say, "Please come to us without delay. We've got a problem. We need your help. We cannot wait." And Peter responds. He feels the urgency of the situation and got up and went with them. And this is what a community of faith can be like and perhaps should be like. Caring not only for its own, not only grieving the loss of one of its own, but also caring for those in need, caring for the widows. Tabitha is a model disciple, and she's not really, doesn't really do anything terribly dramatic. She just uses her skills in making clothing. She engages in these everyday good works. And apparently she has made a big difference in the lives of the widows who stand around weeping after she dies. They're keeping vigil over her body along with the disciples, saints and widows together. You might call Tabitha a pillar of that church. And perhaps everyone is wondering, has she been, in fact, indispensable? Will her ministry die with her? Or maybe will the congregation die with her? And into this tender time of loss bursts the power of the resurrection, and Tabitha is raised. She is restored to life and ministry, and as a result, the good news of Jesus Christ continues to spread. We're told that it became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord as a result. God's mercy is active, and by raising Tabitha, God restores to the widows their provider. God restores to the disciples their beloved companion. God shows that death is not the end. I want to close with a story from a Presbyterian PCUSA missionary in Guatemala City from just a few years ago. And the city had experienced a wave of violence. Unfortunately, that violence has not stopped in that area. But during that particular time of 3 months, more than 30 bus drivers and assistants and passengers were killed by people affiliated with organized crime. So they were being targeted there on the streets. And this led to a climate of fear and insecurity, and the power of death was running rampant. And the simple task of just getting around on the streets was becoming almost impossible. Just incredible stress emerged when people had to go from home to work or from school to the market because they were never sure when random violence might strike. This mission worker from our denomination had an encounter one day at a stoplight that was not far from her home. And she said that stoplights could be dangerous places. You had to wonder if even a child approaching your window was asking for money or might be a carjacker. And so this mission worker learned to keep her car windows open just a little crack, and she would avoid all eye contact if possible. And then one day she was sitting at the stoplight, and a middle-aged man who was obviously poor, poorly dressed, approached her car window with a smile on his face. And with what she described as great respect, he slipped two gospel tracts through that slit in her car window. And in a soft voice, he said, "May God bless you. Be not afraid." This is nothing terribly dramatic, but it is an everyday good work that keeps the powers of death at bay. People of the way, people of Jesus' way, people like that man at the stoplight, people like Tabitha, are empowered to turn the world upside down through everyday good works. Tabitha's sewing, her simple acts of compassion to the widows, are central to the new reality in which God's kingdom is bursting forth with life for all. The good news of the resurrection cannot be kept down. Everywhere, Tabithas are being raised again, and the powers of death and violence cannot stand against the witness of love and caring in community. Be not afraid, we are told. The Lord is risen. And that good news spreads. Tabitha is alive, and the good news prevails over fear. And those of us who have lost a loved one will be comforted, and the sting of death will be removed. For the same God who created the world and raised Jesus from the dead is still active in our world. God is bringing hope to the despairing and life wherever death seeks to reign. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.